You have your Bibles, open them up to Philippians. Last week, we started off in Philippians, went through all of chapter 1, and I want to remind you of what I left you with last week when we finished up, and what we got from last week in chapter 1 was that as we are going out and whatnot, we should be encouraging others as we go. We should also not just be encouraging others, but that we should be preaching no matter what, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that each and every day, whether we live or die, that we have joy in the fact that we have been saved by Jesus Christ. And the reason why we came up with those 3 points was because we reflect on the life of Paul. And remember last week I told you at the beginning of this letter that Paul was in prison. He was chained to a Roman guard each day. It says that in the beginning there, in chapter 1, it talks about that he had gone through the entire Praetorian Guard, which is the governor's palace, meaning that somebody was chained to him each and every day. And he just looked at that as a new opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. This morning we talked a little bit about Paul as we went through Galatians, and we referred back to what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 1 is that to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. And Paul understood that in his life, that if he got to live, because Paul knew that his time was coming. Paul knew that the writing was on the wall. He was chained. There were a lot of people that didn't like him. Eventually, he was going to be a martyr. And so he knew that his time was coming, and so he continued to preach the gospel. Why? Because he had been saved by Christ. His life had been forever changed on that road to Damascus, and he wasn't going to stop preaching about it. And so in the beginning of chapter 1 there, we see as he writes to the church of Philippi, he's just excited to talk to them. He's hearing good things of what they're doing. He's hearing that they're following the Lord. And so his heart is overjoyed with them. And I told you all this last week, I'm always enamored at the fact of how Paul can be chained in prison and still writes encouraging letters to others. And so when we take that and we put it in scope of our lives, we should be encouraging others and we should be sharing the joy of Christ with others no matter what's going on in our lives because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And that's exactly what Paul did. And so Paul didn't let these things get him down, and neither should we. And so we should be encouraging others, and then take a note out of Paul's book, and we should be preaching no matter what. Whether we're chained to a Roman guard for preaching, we should still be teaching others about Christ until the day that we're called home. As Paul says here in a minute, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's saying, listen, to my last breathing breath, I'm going to find joy in this world. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. So if the Lord allows me to continue on doing what I'm doing, praise God. But if he calls me home, don't cry for me, because I'm going to be standing in the presence of my Father. And that is what I like to call a walking dead man. He knows his future. He's comfortable in his salvation. He understands what God has called him to do. And he's doing it. And my encouragement from last week to you all was that we would do the same, that we would be encouraging others, that we would be teaching others and preaching about what Jesus has done in our lives, remembering who we once were and where we came from and what God has done with us now. And then that we should have great joy in the fact that whether we live or die, if we've made that decision to follow Jesus, if we get to live, we get to experience his beauty on this earth. But if we die, we're in the presence of our Lord. We should have great joy in that, great comfort in those words. Paul continues on in chapter 2 here, and he begins to encourage them some more. In verse 1 there, there's 4 things that I want to break down, and then we're gonna continue to move on through this all the way to verse 18. But in verse 1 it says this, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, read verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul breaks down 4 points there that we should be, encouragement should come from being united with Christ. We should have great encouragement from being united with him, from having a relationship with him and joining in and following him. Number 2 is that we should have comfort from his love. We should be comforted by the fact of the love that Jesus has poured out on us. Okay, and he sees that in the church of Philippi. And then number 3 is that we should be
fellowshipping with the Spirit means that if we have accepted Christ in our hearts and in our lives, if we've done that, then we have inherited the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Okay, and so we should be having that fellowship with the Spirit. And then number four, because of that fellowship, because of the decision that we've made to follow Christ, we should have tenderness and compassion in our hearts. Okay, that we, it's that whole transformation process because of what Christ has done in our lives, because of what he continues to do through the work of the Spirit in our lives, we should have that tenderness, that compassion, and all of that should push us to continue on in the goal of which is to reach all those people for Christ. We should have joy and compassion in our hearts. We should be motivated to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should continue on. Paul is saying all of this while being shackled to a Roman guard. You got to keep that in mind. You got to keep that in perspective, that, that Paul is chained. He's on house arrest, and he's writing to these others. Listen, we should have great joy for being united in Christ. That is where his joy comes from. We should be comforted by his love. That is where his comfort comes from, is with Christ. We should be having fellowship with the Spirit. They can chain his arms, they can chain his legs, but they can't chain his heart, which is connected with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to fill him with love, it continues to fill him with wisdom, even though he is being persecuted in this time. And then he says, a man who by all rights and by all means should be grumpy and bitter, because of all the things that have happened to Paul. I mean, you go and you look at all of his missionary journeys, and you're like, man, why is this guy not bitter? I mean, he's been shipwrecked, he's been snake bit, he's been stoned. You name it, it's happened to Paul. He's been beat. But do you see an ounce of bitterness in Paul? Do you see an ounce of regret in Paul as he is chained to a Roman guard? No, Paul sees opportunity. Paul sees opportunity to grow. Paul sees opportunity to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning we were going through Galatians, and Spencer had mentioned that some people have look at, I'm not picking on you, brother, I'm just using this as an example. Some people look and read Paul, and they think he's a bit arrogant, okay, about what has happened in his life. He's arrogant about all the things that have gone on, you know, all the things that he's encountered. But as I said this morning in Sunday school, I don't believe that Paul is arrogant. I believe that Paul realizes that he was on a trajectory to a terrible life, that God could easily just wipe him out. But God chose to save him and use him and put him in a situation where he could do a lot of great things. And so instead of being arrogant, I think Paul is just excited. I think Paul is motivated by the fact that God took him from this and transformed him into this. And he is excited. He's going to tell people, listen, brother, you don't even know what I've been through. You don't even know what I have seen, what I've done. And God has continued to transform my life and continued to show me great things. And so we look at Paul, and you see him bring up all his past all the time. Things have gone on. And what's his testimony? But all of that comes back to the fact of the matter that he was saved by Christ. That day on the road to Damascus, Paul's life was forever changed. And Paul doesn't forget it. And so, yeah, he might come off a little bit arrogant. He might come off a little bit, I like to use bold, in sharing his past and sharing the things that are going on. But he continues to share the gospel of Jesus Christ as much as he can and how he can in a very bold manner. Verse 2 through 4 says this. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for yourself, or do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul, understanding, you know, he's excited and joyful to write to these people, to the church of Philippi. He's excited about what they're doing, but he's reminding them. He's reminding them that it's all about, in verse 2 there, make his joy complete, be the same mind, maintain the same love, united in the Spirit, and intent on one purpose. What, church, is our one purpose? Shout it out. What's our one purpose? To reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we're here. If you're not here to learn more about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God can continue to do a work in your heart and life, there's the door. Because this place is a place of worship. This is a place where we come to grow closer to God. And if you have any other intentions on that, you need to check yourself at the door. Because this place is a place for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are here to learn each and every day that we come to hear God's word of how God can continue to sharpen us and strengthen us to be tools for Him. God continued to use Paul and continued to transform him and change him into the man that he was that we read about today. The man that I love because I see his boldness and I see his strength. And when I'm going through troubles, I go back to Paul and I read what he's dealing with and I say, you know what? I have no reason to cry. I have no reason to be ashamed because Paul went through, not shame, but no reason to be flustered because Paul went through way more than I ever will. And I find great strength and great joy in what Paul went through. And so he reminds the church of Philippi, remember, who in chapter 1, he's like, he's so joyful about the fact that he's writing to them and all the things that they're doing. He says, listen, I love you all. I praise the fact that you're doing well, but do not lose track of the purpose. Do not lose track of the goal. The fact that we are here for Christ. What would have happened to Paul if he would have been chained to a Roman soldier and lost track of the purpose, the reason why he was in prison in the first place? He would have just faded away. And we would have never had these letters. But Paul never lost sight of the fact of why he was in chains. And so, folks, I encourage you this morning to remember what Paul says, that we are to be like-minded, the same love, one in the Spirit, that we are to be one in the purpose. The purpose of reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is it. And when we come here and the things that this church does and the ministries that we do, all of those things should be all pointing to one thing, and that's to reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it's not, then it needs to go. Each and every day, in your own personal time, you should be having time with the Lord and growing and letting Him minister to you. When you come here, it should be like just a cherry on top of your week. Because hopefully you've been doing the prep work and been digging in your word and digging in the Bible and realizing what you need to change in your life through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But then remember that when we come here that this is a group, a body of believers that are all working towards the same goal. That we all want to see people come to know Christ and live for Him in a deeper way. Like-minded, same love, one in the Spirit, and be one in purpose. Verses 5 through 8 says this. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a young man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ is a supreme example of humility and selfless concern for others. I'll read that again. Christ is the supreme example of humility and selfless concern for others. Jesus put it all on the line. Jesus came to this earth willingly to die on the cross for your sins and my sin. He put others' beliefs before His, or others' needs before His. He came to this earth and He was the great example that we are to be humble, that we are to be selfless, that we should be concerned for others. That we need to see, and the concern is that they know who He is, that they understand the love, the joy that we have in Christ. Remember, one, like-minded, same love, one in the Spirit, and be one in the purpose. We're all working towards the same goal of reaching people for Jesus Christ, and we want people to be strengthened in Christ. And again, so when you go down to verses 5 through 8, Christ is a supreme example of humility and selfless concern for others. We are to be focused on the fact of what Jesus did. He is our example of how we should live our lives. So we look at what He did, and He dies on the cross for our sins. Again, I'm going to read 5 through 8 for you. Again, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Again, folks, we come back to the cross. We come back to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and the selflessness that he had. And he poured it all out on the cross so you and I could have a relationship with him. That is our example. That is who we should be living for each and every day. He continues on in verses 9 through 11. He says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Folks, a reminder to us that what Jesus has done, that Jesus is our example, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that if we place our faith and our trust in him, that we will have eternal life. But understanding the fact that one day every tongue will confess his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess his name. Romans 14, 11, you don't have to flip there, I'll get there quick. Romans 14, 11 says this. I'll go the right way. Romans 14, 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." I'll read that again. "It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." And so a reminder to us that one day every tongue will confess his name and every knee will bow. And so it is important for us to understand that, it is important that we understand and let others know that Jesus is Lord, and that one day he's coming back. And that on that day of judgment, on that day that he comes back, every tongue will confess the name of Jesus and every knee will bow. Whether you have done it, whether you have made that decision to follow Christ in your heart and life before he comes back, it doesn't matter, because in that moment in time, they are going to know that he is Lord, that he is King over all, and that he is over all in all. Understanding that every tongue will confess his name and every knee will bow. God is all power. God is God Almighty, who created this world, created this earth, and Jesus was his Son who died on the cross for our sins, and that gave us an opportunity to place our faith and our trust in him. He's given us an opportunity, but there is a time limit on that opportunity. The day that he comes back is not the time. And we need to get right with God now. We need to make sure that we are following Jesus right now. That we've made a decision. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that he is God. We believe that he's paid that price for our sins. We believe that. We follow him. We trust in him. We live for him. And we teach others about him. Jesus is Lord. Verses 12 through 18, Paul brings it back around. He says, "Remember the plan." 12 through 18 says this, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. But even I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your love. Service of your faith. I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Paul reminds them, remember the plan at hand. Understand that we are to continue to be working on our salvation. Understand what he says there when he says, continue to work out your salvation continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, understanding that God is all-powerful, that we are reverent to God, that we are continuing to work through our salvation. We're continuing to understand all of this with fear and trembling, meaning that God is in control, that God is all-powerful, that just like when Paul was converted that day on the road to Damascus, he knew that there was an all-powerful presence that stopped him that day, and it was Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you that Paul was fearing for his life and that Paul was trembling that day because he understood the presence, the power that he was in. He understood that Jesus was all powerful. And so we, as we work through this, as we understand all this, work through it in fear and trembling, understanding that God is all powerful and that God is doing a work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Understand that God has a plan for you. Understand that God wants you to do something in this world. And as we try to understand what that is and try to figure out where God has called us to go and how God has called us to lead, that we're to do that with fear and trembling, understanding that he is in control. And we're to do all of this, this coming from Paul, chained to a Roman guard, do this all without grumbling or disputing. Paul, of all people, has everything to grumble about. I mean, the dude has been forgotten in prison for multiple years. Bounced around from Felix to Festus, forgotten about. Injustice after injustice, and yet he continues to stay strong. He continues to stay faithful. Why? Because he remembers what God had called him to do. He remembers that day on the road to Damascus that Jesus had called him into a life of ministry, and that he understands, and you see this in the end of this passage in verse 17. He says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." Paul understood that his life was going to problems. He was going to face persecution. He understood that martyrdom was not far from him, and so he continued to preach and continued to pray and continued to be joyful in the fact that God had done a great work in his life. And so he says to them in verse 18, "You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Paul was so excited in chapter 1 that he was so happy to be riding through Philippi, so happy about the things that were going on in there. And then he goes on and he says, listen, continue to preach the gospel, continue to do these things. Whether you live or die, live for Jesus, encourage others, and preach no matter what. And then he goes on in chapter 2 to say, listen, you need to be like Christ. You need to remember Christ as your example. You need to remember that we are all in this together, that we are working towards the same goal. If you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you have the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. We are working towards the same goal, which is reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our goal. That is our plan. That is what we are here to do. And so Paul writes to them with great joy and great understanding of what God has called him to do. He says, listen, and if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering, he already saw that he was being poured out, meaning that his life of martyrdom would be coming to an end. He understood his call. He understood where it was going. But I love that he says this at the end in 18. I urge you to rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. That we should be joyful. That we should be happy. Understanding that no matter what happens, that God is going to get the glory. As long as we are living for him and doing what he has called us to do, God will get the glory. Whether we live or we die, we should be praising his name. We understand that Christ has saved us. We understand that we have that relationship with him, that one day we will stand before him and hopefully we'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We'll finish that race as Hebrews chapter 12 talks. We'll finish it strong. And we have a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And when we finish that race, they'll be there plodding us on. And so Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi that's saying, listen, no matter what happens to me, I want you to continue to be joyful. I want you to be like Christ. I want you to live until God calls you home for him. And listen, the other day we celebrated Pat Mullins. We went over to Bob's Gasoline Alley. We celebrated his life, and that's exactly what Pat did. Pat lived for the Lord. Every time I talked to that man, We had a gospel conversation, and it wasn't because I brought it up. Pat was always talking about the Bible and the God that saved him and the God that loved him. And until the day that God called him home, he preached the gospel to those that would listen. And what a legacy to live, to tell people. People can say, you know what? Dad, Grandpa, Pat, he lived for the Lord. That's the legacy that we want to leave. When we die, when we go home to be with the Lord, we want people to say, you know what? That man, that woman, they lived for Jesus. And it was evident in their life. I've sat in funerals, multiple different funerals. Those that are saved and those that are non-saved. And what a blessing it is to sit in a funeral of a saved person and hear all these people stand up and begin to talk about how their life was influenced by this person because this person understood who Jesus was and shared the gospel with them. And that's exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do. Listen, folks, we have been saved by grace. We have been saved by Jesus, and he loves us and he cares for us, and all he's asked us to do is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it out in our lives and tell others about him. I tell you all the time, chapter 28 of Matthew 18 through 20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We take up the MMO offering, and that helps, but listen, that doesn't get you out of the Great Commission. No, you don't have to travel all corners of the earth or of Missouri to share people share the gospel with people. If you want to do that, you can. Okay? MMO is just an extension of what we should already be doing in our lives. The people we come in contact with, as we talked about this morning, as we go. As you go to the grocery store, as you go to your job, as you go on vacation, as you go wherever, you are to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody. Why? Because you understand, just like Paul did, that you were saved by grace and that you were brought out of the mire and God stood you on the rock. And he said, listen, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and follow me. Okay? And so we should be following him. We should be living for him each and every day because he has paid the price for us. Paul understood that, and we need to as well. That our job is to live for Christ, to reach as many as we can. So Paul reminds the church of Philippi, remember the plan. Remember the plan. Do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove to yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, but above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering and a sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. That is what we should be doing. That is how we should be living our lives. So my question to you this morning is, what's stopping you? What is holding you back from following the Lord? What is holding you back from living a life of encouraging others, of preaching the gospel no matter what, and having joy whether you live or you die? What is holding you back? Maybe you don't know who Christ is. Maybe you've never accepted him as Lord Savior. When we say, get saved, what am I getting saved from? You're getting saved from hell. Because without Jesus, we deserve hell. And so, the simple fact is this. Is that when we accept Christ into our heart and life, he has saved us from the pits of hell. And so when I tell you something, when I say, are you saved? Do you have Jesus as your Lord of your life? Is he your Savior? Have you repented of your sins and begin to follow him? Is he getting saved is one thing, and following him is another. You can't disconnect them. They're connected. Because if you know what you've been saved from, you're forever and always in debt to him. And so we're going to tell others about him. I shared this morning in Sunday school, then we'll wrap up. When I almost drowned in Stockton Lake, and I was saved. I was joyful, for one thing. Okay, but when those guys pulled me out of the water, I was forever in debt to them. Thankful that they pulled me out. Faithful that they gave me my life back. And that was just a little bit. Because listen, if I'd have died that day at Stockton Lake, people might have been sad, but the bottom line is I'd have been present with my Lord. Because I knew who Jesus was and is today. But folks, when we get saved, we have this great joy, this newfound life. It's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus has saved us from sin and death and hell. And so we should be joyful in telling others about what he's done for us and living for him each and every day. And I hope that you understand that this morning as we continue on pushing forward and coming under the banners. He says here in the very, very beginning here in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. We must come together under that one purpose. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and sharing that with others, and reaching this world, reaching Cuba, Missouri, for Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the time we've had here, Lord, to open your word, to share the gospel this morning, the good news. Lord, as we read about Paul, we study about Paul, Lord, we thank you for his words, and we thank you for the joy that he had, no matter his circumstances, no matter his issues that he was dealing with, Father, he remained joyful because he understood that if he was to die in that prison or die to that chain, being chained to that guard, Lord, that he would be in the presence of, in your presence. But he also understood that if he continued to be chained to that guard, Lord, that he had life. And so in that life, the time that he had, no matter whether it was good or bad, he was going to make the most of it. He was going to encourage people to have a relationship with you and to be devoted to you. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that each and every one of us here this morning, we begin to look into our heart and lives. First off and foremost, Lord, answering the question, do I understand and know who Jesus Christ is? Have I accepted him as my Lord and Savior? Am I living for him daily? And once we've answered that, Father, once we say, yes, I believe that Jesus has saved me from the pits of hell. I believe that Jesus has saved me from my sin. If we believe that and we say, yes, Lord, I'm following you each and every day, then we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what are we doing for him? How are we sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day? We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, Father, help us to ask those questions. Help us to begin to do a work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would begin to change us and transform us through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, Father. Give us the strength. Give us that joy. Give us that peace and that encouragement, Father. Lord, I pray that we would glean from the words that we read in the Bible, Lord, all the encouragement, all the things that we are to do for you. How we are to live each and every day worthy, thankful of what you've done for us on the cross. We love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. I'll be here in the front. Let's stand and sing. If you have any questions about today's message, if you want to know more about how to accept Jesus Christ in our life, I'll be here. Again, there's no prayer that I can pray. There's nothing I can do for you. It's a decision that you make between you and God whether you're going to follow Christ today.
Turn your eyes upon